What we're looking at tonight in Exodus chapter 3 is God calling Moses to go. And Moses, when God called him to go, begins to make all these excuses as to why he couldn't go. And, you know, I think it's kind of neat when you see someone, you know, that's willing to, in their later years, go out and do this kind of adventure. And those that are younger going out and do the adventure. I mean, we can't really use the excuse that we're too old or too young because we see other people doing it. What God does when he calls us to ministry, he takes away all of our excuses. And maybe tonight some of you guys, you're sitting there and you have excuses as to why you're not going to serve the Lord or why you're not serving him. And we're going to see Moses was no different. The excuses you have, Moses had. And God is going to take Moses over the next 2 or 3 weeks as we go through this, through all of his excuses as to why he's not the one. You shouldn't send him. He's too old. He doesn't talk good. He doesn't whatever the thing might be, whatever was going on in Moses' mind. We'll see a few of the excuses he gives. I'm sure there were more going on in his heart and mind. But God systematically just takes them all away. And what we're going to see by the time we get to the end of this, bottom line, there is no excuse. If God calls you, go. And Jesus said, go into all the world. Now, there's different times where we're called to different things. You have to trust in the Lord to do that. But I think one of the most common reasons why we don't step out and serve the Lord is because we don't feel qualified. And because we don't feel that we're qualified, we begin to make excuses as to why we can't do it. Lord, send somebody else. And we'll get there in about 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to get there where Moses finally just says, send somebody else. I don't want to go. I've gotten comfortable here and I've got a nice home and a nice wife and everything's warm and cushy. And why do we stir it up now? And God is the God of stirring it up now. You ever notice that? I mean, if you walk with the Lord very long, you know, it's often when you get comfortable that God stirs things up and gets you uncomfortable. But we have to come to the place of understanding and maturity in our walk with the Lord that it's not us doing the work anyway. So if we feel we're not qualified, that doesn't matter. Not being qualified makes no difference whatsoever. You can be effective in missions if you know this. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you ask forgiveness and ask him into your heart, you can be born again. If you know that much, you can be effective in the mission field. That's the gospel message. That's what leads people to Christ. There's power in that message. Now, if you're going to get into all the theology and the further teaching, well, yeah, then you need to, there's going to be some time as far as that goes. But to go, the qualifications are really very minuscule. And we're going to see with Moses, man, a lot more qualifications than just the basic salvation message. Now, you know, they didn't know his name was Jesus, but they knew that there was a promised Messiah to come. God had promised that back in Genesis 3. That had been passed down through Noah after the flood, passed on to Abraham and all. So Moses knew about the promised Messiah. He knew that if you believed in the promised Messiah and repented of your sins and followed God, that you could be saved. So they had the same gospel back then. They just didn't know the Lord's name. And of course, we're going to see that God gave them the law as the outline for their nation. And then, of course, Jesus came and by grace and all this, we know the process of what God used. But Moses, of all people, he was probably the most qualified. Actually, he was the most qualified human on the earth at this time. There was nobody more qualified to do what God was calling him to do. And the amazing thing about it is we're going to see that Moses, when God gives him the call, starts saying, I can't do it. And here's all the reasons why. So if you're sitting there thinking you're not qualified, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You are qualified right now. You're qualified. The answer is, are you going to be obedient? And it doesn't mean you have to go to, you know, foreign missions. It might be obedient right here. It could be something God's calling you to do at Calvary Chapel to start out. It might be something God's calling you to do in Knoxville Ministry. It might be something God's calling you to do. As a mom, you may not be able to do anything but raise your kids, but raise them in the Lord. That's a mission field. Your job, when dad's gone, teach them the word. You know, lead them to the things of God so that by the time they're grown up and gone, they know the Lord, they love him and all this. So we all have a mission field somewhere. Let God lead you as to where that is. You know, God doesn't necessarily call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And I've seen a lot of guys that have all these degrees and all these education things, and they're useless. They really are. They're useless because they think they're about something because of all their degrees or their experience and all. And I think God oftentimes, just to confound the wise, he'll take somebody that's just a baby Christian and they say, I don't really know anything, but I love Jesus. He'll send them to the mission field and all these people get saved because they just love him. That's really all it takes, loving him and sharing him. And then he does the work. But again, we typically come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't be used. Again, tonight we're going to see Moses with the same problem. Again, the most qualified guy there could be. He says he's not. And God's going to correct all that. Now, where we left off last week, we saw God speaking to Moses from the burning bush and telling him that he'd heard the cries of the children of Israel. He'd heard their oppression and God was going to send them a deliverer. God had heard them and God was going to come rescue them. And we said up to that point, Moses was probably pretty excited. You know, God's going to send a deliverer. God's going to rescue them. Well, the problem is that Moses now finds out that it's not just any deliverer, it's him. And it's kind of like, well, I like the whole idea of spreading the gospel, and I like the whole idea of God working in people's lives, but I don't really want to be the one to do it. And I don't speak good. I'm scared in front of people. I'm this, I'm that. You know what? You're about to get shot down on every excuse you ever had. Now, you won't see him tonight, so if you don't want to hear it, you can skip the next couple of weeks. Because tonight we're probably going to get to one of them, but God shoots down every excuse we have. There is no excuse for not being obedient to the Lord and saying, God, whatever you want to do with me, do it. And then God shows us what it is. And that's where we take up tonight when Moses is making his excuses. And probably, well, we'll see. We may only get to one excuse tonight. We'll see. But notice here in verse 11, after God tells him, I'm going to call the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm sending you to do it, Moses. He tells him that there in chapter 3, verse 10. And now in verse 11, but Moses said to God, now notice here the excuses start. Who am I? You could almost stop right there for a minute, you know, because that's really the thrust of this. God had taken Moses from Mr. Confident to very humble. And now Moses says to God, which is a great thing, but he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? In other words, I'm a nobody. Why would you want to send me again? Why should I go and deliver them? You know, I'm a nobody. I'm not qualified. And so somebody else needs to do it. How many times have we heard that excuse? Maybe some of you have given that excuse. God doesn't accept that. Now, God doesn't force us to serve him, but he doesn't accept any excuses either. You know, you get saved and you just kind of get in the kingdom and never serve him in any way. You'll still go to heaven. You don't have to serve God to make it in heaven. You just have to serve God to be obedient. So you can still be saved and go to heaven and not really have much reward. Or you can say, Lord, I'm going to do what you called me to do and have much reward. And I don't know about you guys, it's worth it to me. So what? So what? I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I'm in the mission field for a week, sleeping on dirt with it raining. You know, and most of the time, that's not how it is. Most of the mission trips I've been on have been very pleasant. If you've done multiple mission trips, they've been very pleasant. I've had the one or two where you had the stomach issue and, you know, the mosquitoes and all. I've had those, okay? And I think God allows those because he wants to teach us. You know what? You're a warrior. You're on the battlefield. There's going to be times where it's not going to be so cushy-cushy, and God wants us to learn something from that. But most of the mission trips I've gone on, I've been really, by the Lord, extremely pampered. He ends up putting us in some nice hotel, or we get some kind of great special meals or a special surprise where there's a layover for something in some London or something. I mean, this stuff happens all the time. And it's like, wow, I didn't think I'd get to do this. I remember getting, you think, wow, how fun could a layover, you know, for 16 hours be? But when you're in Switzerland and just, you know, going to see Switzerland and the streets and all the quaintness of the city we're in, there's a lot of adventure when it comes to doing missions for the Lord. He says, I'm not qualified. And I'm sure some of us have used that same excuse. But again, if you're saved, you're not only qualified, you're commanded to go. Whether it's here or whether it's there. And there's no excuses. And again, note the difference here in what we see in Moses compared to 40 years earlier. Go back in your mind to where Moses was when he first stepped out. Remember? Confident. Moses was rather self-confident, not just confident. He was self-confident, self-assured that he had the ability to deliver the children of Israel. And the New Testament tells us, it gives us more detail and said he really believed that they would recognize it. He thought he would go right there into Egypt, start a new fellowship, start teaching, and all of Egypt would just recognize he was called of God to be there and do it. And they all would just love him and the church would grow and everything would be great. He really thought that would happen. And they're looking at him like, who are you? What qualifications do you have? Why should we listen to you? And he had a lot that he had to learn that God had to take Moses through. Remember, Moses heard the call. He just heard it at the wrong time. And so God had to empty Moses of himself. You know, I can imagine if God had spoken to Moses back then. Now God says, Moses, I want you to go. And here's what he does. I can't do it. I can't speak it. He goes, all these things he's going to say. If God had said that to Moses 40 years ago, you know what he would have said? You better believe it, God. I'm the man. I'm the one. I'm obviously the one. And they're going to recognize it when I get there. I've got the best education. You know, we know the Pharaoh's kids, they went to the best universities. They had the best military training. The Bible tells us he was mighty in word and deed. So if you want to look at his qualifications, like for he's running for president, he would be the man. Vote for Moses. Moses is the guy. The problem was Moses was so far from being mature and ready that he was non-usable. Because Moses had all of his confidence in Moses, see. God had to get all of Moses out of Moses before God could, you know, get Moses to the place he could use him. And that's the same thing is true with us. God, some of us it takes longer, some of us it takes shorter. God's still doing it in me. You know, I think that I limit God how much he can use me because God has to convince me and he has to rid me of me over a process of years to where I can finally allow him to actually be used more by me. And until we get to that place, well, whatever God can do, he does. Moses, he wasn't able to do much with Moses. So, Moses at that time, though, thought he was the can-do guy. He was the man for the job, son of Pharaoh, all the things. He's ready to go. But God allowed him to fail miserably. And after his miserable failure in his own strength to do it, then God sends him 40 years after that failure. And you talk about thinking you're done. I tried it. I stepped out. It didn't work. It failed. And now you already think you're a failure, that you've missed God and God's not going to use you. And yet he had no idea the huge way that God was going to use him when he was ready. Then God sends him 40 years to the backside of the desert. And now he really thinks it's done. And he literally comes to the place where he's made up his mind. Not only is it done, I have no hope that God's ever going to use me. And he lost all hope in self-confidence and all hope in his own abilities. And God had to allow that to happen so that he could finally use Moses. And some of us in here, guys, God is having to allow us to completely rid ourselves of us so he can use us. It's not a fun process, but you know what happens when we get to that place? God says, now, it's like when we finally say, that's it. I'm done. I've tried everything. And God says, all right, we're ready. We're ready. Start the engines, guys. I'm going to recommission, give the call again, show him what he's doing. And then there's that old process of convincing again. No, I am going to use you. Now, God doesn't always do it that way. It depends on how much God has to work out and how long it takes. And I look at Moses, the 40 years that it took to do that. And I've told you guys this before. I pray, Lord, please don't let it take 40 years for me to get to the place where you can use me the most. God can use us right now where we are. And he is using you guys. He'll use us right where we are. But he can't use us to the full measure until we get to the place Moses was. And that is completely empty of ourselves, realizing we have no ability, losing all self-confidence. And it's funny, when I read about these guys that God used in great ways, by the time they get to the place where God can use them in great ways, the typical things they say is, I am so unqualified for this. I am so unable. I am so deficient in so many areas. What am I even doing here? Understand that when we get to that place, it's now when the greatest things can be done through you for the kingdom of God. Because it's not you, it's him. And it's a hard place to get to in our own flesh. But the only way that I've ever seen that this is learned, some people may be able to learn this by hearing it. I don't think that we're going to learn this by hearing it tonight. Here's what's been my experience, not just personally, but in other men's lives that I've observed. Typically, it comes only by experience. You can teach it. I knew, 20 some years ago that I had to rid myself of me and that God could never really do much with me until I did. And that I had to realize that it was all him and not me. I knew all that. 20 some years ago, I knew it mentally. I'm just now starting to get it. It's just now starting to kind of click in the wheels and go, okay, God, I got it. I think it's starting to settle in some because I've watched over the years of how I can do nothing without him. Now, what do I do? And how do I do this thing where you do it and I'm not in the way? This is where Moses is. And maybe some of you guys are in this place as well because we all have to learn it. Getting rid of our abilities and ourselves. And again, the head knowledge doesn't do it. It's got to be that God showing it. Now, here's the thing that really hit me today, guys. In America, we have a bigger problem with this than in some other countries. Now, not all countries, but some other countries. And I believe we have a much harder problem at this than even probably they did back then. Again, I don't know why it took 40 years with Moses. I'm sure God was also getting things ready with Egypt and the children of Israel and all that. But here's why we have such a hard time with this today. Here's what our society and culture teaches. How many of us have heard our kids taught that they can do anything they want and there's nothing they can't do and they have all abilities and they're all beautiful and they're all handsome and they all get the surprise at the birthday party and everyone's a winner and everyone gets a trophy. That's our culture today. I don't think that's necessarily good. I really don't. I may step on some toes right now. I think that what we've done is, I think by doing this and making it all inclusive and everyone's a winner and nobody loses, I think what we've taught is a false expectation that I can win all the time at everything. So now I just go and do it and I'm going to win when I serve God and I'll win and I'm going to go out and I'm going to take the city and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because I can. I've always been told I can and I've got this self-confidence. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should tear our children down or tear our society down. We need to be encouragers and build them up in Christ and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is I think that we are taught self-confidence so much in the American culture that God really has a lot more work to do with us before he can get us to a place where we're really usable. You go to some of these countries where they don't have all that. I think God can raise them up and use them much quicker. But if I think that I can do all this stuff and I'm this and I have this training and I have these abilities and I have that and I'm this and whatever, then God's got to just kind of shake his head and say, how long is it going to take? How long do I have to wait until you realize that you can't and that you don't? And that any abilities you do have, I gave them to you. I always think about that when I see somebody with an exceptional talent, whatever that talent is, whether it's, you know, something musically or something in sports or whatever the talent is. God is the one that gave that. And if we don't learn to acknowledge that it's from God and to use it for God's glory, and we think somehow it has to do with us, what happens? Pride. We elevate ourselves. We think we're better somehow, like, you know, the scriptures talk about it. Somehow you think you did it. Like, you think that you're the one. Even the ability to make money. We were talking about that today at lunch. God gives certain people the ability to make money. It's a gift he gives them. So if God has given you an ability to make money and you just hoard it, and don't use it for the kingdom, you're going to be accountable for that one day. If God has given you ability in music and you just do it to make yourself famous, you know, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be a star or whatever. And, you know, what is the whole goal? You know, what do we teach in our society? I'm going to be a star, you know. American Idol, that's me. I'm the one. Come on. I can sing. I can dance. I can whatever. I'm the guy. And some of these people are just shocked to find out they're not as great as they think they are, you know. It's a real eye-opener. And sometimes they get told that and they leave there thinking, well, those crazy judges don't know anything, you know. They still are so full of themselves, they can't even accept the fact they're not. We've created that. And so if we come from any background where we have any kind of special talent, listen, if you're the kind of person that has no special talent, you're way ahead of everybody else in the kingdom of God. Way ahead. Because you are a prime candidate for somebody God can raise up quickly and do great things through. But if you have any special talent, if you're able to do something other people can't, if you're naturally humble or you learn to be humble, then great. But if not, you've got a battle. You don't even realize what your battle. You don't know how much is in there. And sometimes it doesn't show up in a glowing pride, but it's in there. And God's got to take all these years to work it out and finally get you to a place to where, you know, I think Moses was so gifted in his speech. He was so gifted physically and militarily because of the training. And we see what he did and doing short work with all the shepherds there, you know, with Zipporah and Jethro's daughters and all. We see that he was probably going to be the next Pharaoh, from what many believe, depending on which Pharaoh was in place. He had all these things going from all this money, all this stuff. And it wasn't that he was like so full of pride. The Bible didn't tell us that. But he was nowhere near where he needed to be for God to use him. And he had this whole big long learning curve before God could, and this de-elevation. You see, the world says work your way up the ladder. What does the kingdom teach? You got to work your way down the ladder. Jesus said, you want to be great in the kingdom? You got to be the least of everybody. And if you're too important to wash feet, you're too important to vacuum a floor or clean a window or pick up a cigarette butt, you're useless until God gets that in your mind that you're just a servant. And once you learn you're a servant, now you're great in the kingdom. Now God can elevate you and use you. Again, Moses had a lot to learn. While all his, you know, education and all this stuff would help him succeed in the world, it's not going to help him with the Lord very much until he learns to be humble. This is what happened to Peter. Remember Peter? The example of Peter, he's, you know, Lord, though they all deny you, I won't. And he had that self-confidence, and God had to allow Peter to totally blow it. God could have stopped that, couldn't he? He could have stopped Satan from tempting Peter. He could have made everything work, but God allowed Peter to fail miserably so that God could say, I tried to tell you, but now I have to show you. And so some of us might be in that place where God is saying, I've tried to tell you, now I've got to show you. It's a great place to be when you finally just realize, you know what, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it, and I've lost all goals. Here's what I found. Before I came to the Lord, I had all these aspirations to be great. I wanted to be a great famous singer. I wanted to be, you know, when I was a kid, it started out wanting to be the, you know, great athlete, whatever it was. You know, football. I want to do football, you know, and he's on the five. You know, and you have the whole thing, and you throw it down, and you know, the crowd's adoring you. You know, that seems silly at 18, but that's where I was. Then, you know, you get into something else. You get into other stuff, and like, you know, then it was tennis, you know, and I would spend hours doing tennis. You know, whatever. And I went through all these phases of something, some way. And I didn't realize at the time necessarily, I probably wouldn't have told you I was trying to be great. But the truth was, I was trying to be great. I wanted people to know me and, ooh, you know. And then, you know, God gave me just enough ability to sing a little bit where I got a little bit of attention from it. And it ruined me for years. Ruined me. Because then I went out to be famous as a singer. You mean everybody can't sing? Okay, well then I'll sing and get me a guitar and hey, I get a little bit of attention here. And then, so then I come to the Lord, right? Now God has all this time. He's got to work all this stuff out of me of trying to be great. And I found as a baby Christian, then I start trying to be great in the kingdom. I want to be the famous teacher or pastor. I want to be the one that whatever I'd like to be. And you don't admit that typically at that time. But I look back now, and I did the same thing in the church that I did in the world. So then God had to work all that out. And the only way God can work that out is total failure in most everything you try to do. It's not fun. It's very humbling. It's very sad. It can be very lonely. It's wonderful. Because then you get to the place where you finally say, you know what? If you never use me again, I'm at the place right now that if God never uses me again, I'm all teeth. I'm smiling and I'm ready to go on to be in the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I have a death wish. But remember the children of Israel, they had this thing they said when they were quoting everything that God had done for them. They say, God, you brought us out of Egypt. Dayenu. And then God, you brought us in, you know, into the wilderness. And Dayenu. And God, then you fed us. You know, you gave us all these miracles and all in the wilderness before. Dayenu. And then you brought us in the promised land. Dayenu. You know what Dayenu means? It means that would have been enough. In other words, if you'd have just brought us out of Egypt, if you'd have just saved us, that would have been enough. But then you did all these miracles in the wilderness. Well, that would have been enough. And then you did all the stuff, you brought us to the promised land. Well, Dayenu, that would have been enough. And then you did this, and they go on this whole big long list where they're saying all these wonderful things God did, and then all these Dayenus. And nobody would know it but us. But I think a bumper sticker, Dayenu, would be a great bumper sticker. But nobody would know it but us and other Christians. They'd think you're just, it would confirm to them that you're strange. But anyway. But I love that. I love Dayenu because I'm at the place in my life where Dayenu. God has saved me. I'm in the kingdom. I'm getting now to where I realize I'm too old to be great at anything. And I'm not that old. Don't get me wrong. I feel like I've got a lot of years to go. But I'm not exactly going to go out, you know, and be a walk-on for Tennessee. Be a laugh-off if I tried. Or a walk-on anything else. It's just going to have to be, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with my life? I'm here. And I think that it's a great place to be, guys. I think it's a good place to say, you know what? Whatever you want, Lord, I'm going to do it. You remove all the excuses. Don't accept our excuses. Get us to a place where we're usable. And the years that we have left, use them. Whatever's left, let's use it. And that's where Moses is. So Moses says, I can't do this. You know, you get somebody else. I'm not. Who am I? Look at verse 12. So he knocks his feet out from under him. He said to him, I will certainly be with you. I love it. You're saying, who am I? It's not just you, Moses. It's not like just you're going to Pharaoh. You're stepping out in ministry. You're going to do this. I'm going with you. It'll be me doing it. Just relax. Just obey me and go. So he says, you know, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought this people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So first of all, notice, I will certainly be with you. I love this. In other words, I will give you the ability to do what I'm asking you to do. I will be with you. And hence, it's not you, but me doing the work. So relax. Just obey. You let me worry about the results. And again, the same promise is given to us, guys. When we share our faith with the world around us, God says, I'll be with you. And sometimes you think it's not having any impact. Let me tell you something. When you're sharing the word of God, it's having an impact. They may not give their life to the Lord right there with you when you do that, but you're having an impact. You're planting seeds. You're giving them the gospel and sharing with them. Trust God to do what he's going to do with it. The word certainly is very interesting to me here. It's, you know, word studies are an amazing thing in the language because you miss so much until you really get down to what does the language say. This word certainly, I never would have believed or thought this word means this. It means burning or branding. I will certainly be burning and branding you and be with you. You know, I think there's a whole thing of here, I'll be making you on fire. I'll give you the fire of the Spirit. That's the burning part. But the branding part, I believe here is that God says, you know what? I'm going to be the one that my presence is going to be obvious with you. Like an animal that's branded. They're going to recognize that I've sent you. They're going to see that my label's on you. My name is on you. My name is with you. So you'll be burning for me. You're going to be branded for me just like an animal. You know, you see that on an animal. You can't deny that. They've been branded. You see it. He says, my presence will be that obvious with you, Moses. When I'm sending you, my presence will be that obvious. Nobody can deny it. They're going to say, God is with that man. God is with that woman. I see it. I recognize it. And this is a wonderful thing because God says, if you do it for me, I'm going to be there. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't recognize God's power in my life. I don't see God with me. Well, let me ask you this. Are you out doing anything? Are you serving anywhere? Kids ministry, youth group, men's group, women's group, cleaning, mowing? Are you serving anywhere? If you're not, you don't need. Look, you only need gas for a car if you're going to drive it. Does everybody understand that? I have found that until you start driving the car, you don't need gasoline. And the car can sit there and look beautiful. You can say, wow, that's a great looking car, you know. But if you don't drive it, It does no good. And if you're going to drive it, God will fill it up. See, here's the analogy. As a believer, yes, you're saved. Everything's beautiful. You're in the kingdom. You're ready to go. But unless you're going to get in and take the spiritual keys and start up the engine and say, all right, Lord, where do you want me to serve? I'm ready. I'm going to serve. Let's go. You know, then you're not going to have the power. But as you step out, then the power will come. God gives the power for what you need to do. He says, I will certainly be with you. But if you don't step out, the power won't be there. And so he says, it'll be obvious. Everybody's going to see this. They're going to recognize it. They're going to see my brand on you. They're going to see that you're on fire for me. They're going to clearly see that you belong to me. And if his word's not enough, God gives him a sign. Notice he says he would later bring with him the children of Israel back to this very spot where God spoke with him. And what an encouragement that must have been for Moses when he really saw it happen. You think about Moses going and he does all this. And then all of a sudden, when he's back there in that place and they're all with him, it probably hit him. Oh, yeah, here I am. I'm back at the same mountain you told me I would be with. I think this is cool. And I think that God will oftentimes give us the same sign. Now, what do I mean by that? I've had this happen. It didn't happen always. But you share with people, whether it's no matter where you are, you're sharing with them. And all of a sudden, one day they show up at church. They're back at the mountain where God called you to go share with them. I said, go share. And you go share, and suddenly they're back at the fellowship where you are. They're back at the very mountain where God inspired you to do it. And now you're seeing the fruit of your labors. And he was doing the same thing for Moses here. I mean, I've seen God do this, and sometimes it'd be a year's delay. But, you know, we get to some of the same signs that God gave to Moses. Now, again, this is interesting to me, too, because why would Moses need a sign? You ever think about that? I mean, come on, when I read this, I'm thinking, I'm going to give you a sign, Moses, that it's me. I'm thinking, let's think about the situation. I like to live the scene out, right? Moses is talking to a bush, and it's answering him. I mean, what more do you need? I mean, honestly, you're like, there's a bush, it's burning, it won't burn up. Hi, bush, hello, oh, it's alive, you know? Well, show me a sign. Like, what? You know, what kind of, he didn't ask for a sign, but God says, I'm going to give you a sign to let you know I'm with you. I would kind of like, you know what, the burning bush thing, that got it, Lord, I'm there. And but God knew, here's the thing, guys, and this is true about every one of you when you step out, here's the truth. I don't care how clear God makes your call, you're going to doubt it at times. God will give you a burning bush experience, and some time goes by, and you're going to think, you know what, I don't think I really am called to missions. I don't think I really was called to work in the kids ministry. I don't think I really was called to be a teacher. I don't think I really was called to be a pastor. I don't think I really was called to work with, and you go down the list of all the ways you can serve. I don't think I really was. Wait a minute. Did God speak to you clearly at the beginning? If God spoke to you, here's what I encourage you to do. If God has told you, and he may not have it, you might say, I haven't heard the call yet, Mark. I haven't heard it. Okay, that's all right. Just keep serving. Bloom where you're planted. When it's time, God will speak to you. Don't feel like you're somehow less or left out if you haven't heard what it is God wants you to do. He will show you in his time. Right now, you're in that molding, shaping process. But as you're waiting to be molded and shaped to the thing God wants you to be so you can do it, just serve on the way. Just serve. Be about the Father's business, whatever that is. Start serving. And as you serve, God will show you. All right? So don't worry about the fact you haven't been told yet. God will tell you things. Write them down. I've got scripture. You know, there's been times after we first came here, there were times that I really wanted to quit. You know, I had those false expectations. We had come from another Calvary that was huge. The one down the street was 12,000 people or something. And the one we were in was, over 1,000. And they were close together. And there were all these big events and these big speakers that would come in and these big musicians. And everything was big, 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 right? So I'm thinking, we're going to go out, we'll be there for, a few months, and we'll be up to 100 people, and be a few more months, it'll be 500, a year or two, there'll be 1,000 people. That's just because that's what I'd seen. But I wasn't ready for that. And God, whether God ever wants to do that with me, I don't know. But the point is, God had to get me to the place where now I don't care. It's not that I don't want to see the church grow, and I don't want to see the ministry grow. I just want to serve him. Whatever it is he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. And the results are up to him, you see. But I'll tell you, there's been times, early on especially, where I wanted to quit. And I remember one particular time where I wanted to quit. This is it, Lord. It's not going. I thought it would go, and it didn't, and I must have missed you and all that. And God made it so clear when we came out. I mean, I could go down a whole testimony of all the things God did, just amazing things to show us we were supposed to come. But I had to get one more, And I remember running up to the mountain, sitting by the stream, saying, God, you got to speak to me right now, because I'm not going to make it. I think it's time to quit. I think maybe I missed it, and whatever, it's time to go back. He took me to a place in scripture, and he gave me such a strong scripture that I cannot deny it. If I quit now, it's just disobedience. Now, he could call me to something else. He could do that. But to quit the ministry would be disobedience at this point, because he made it so clear. But I remember, I keep those things in my heart. Because then when the temptation comes up to say, you know what, maybe I'm not called, then God reminds you, wait a minute, what about that? And you need to do that. If God gives you, and God will give you those landmarks in your life, write them down. Don't lose them, because Moses needed this. You would think that Moses, I mean, come on, he has a bush that's on fire talking to him. And God says, now you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you a sign, because by then you're going to need it. You're going to come out and all this stuff's going to happen. And Moses, you're going to start having questions. And when you're back at this mountain and you see all the children of Israel, you look out over and go, wow, it really happened. Then you're going to be reminded what I'm telling you right now. And you're going to say, this is you, God. I can't deny it. Let's keep going. And God gives us those landmarks that keep us going in ministry and in life, you know. How many of you guys have been right to the very end and God does just that special thing, right? All right, you know, I can keep going. That's what he's doing for Moses. And although he heard God's voice clearly, you know, he's going to say, all right, Moses, this is going to be a sign to you. Now, next week we'll get into his second excuse. I won't tell you what it is yet, but we'll just wait till then. But who am I? Some of you guys tonight probably, who am I? Come on, I don't have, Mark, I didn't even have a little bit of ability to sing, and I don't have any musical ability, and I can't even, you know, I can't do anything. I can't type, I can't, you know. I never was good at sports, and I don't really have any, I don't speak good, I don't this. It's not about you. See, this is what I had to learn. It's not about me. For the longest time, I thought it was about me. You know, I'll go and take these talents I have and use them for. It's not about me. God's not impressed with any of it. It's not about you. He loves you and he wants to use you. But what you've got to do is say, all right, here I am, whatever I am. I don't know what that is. Whatever I've got, use it. Just offer it to him, okay? And then start serving and wait on God to show you. And God will speak. You'll have your burning bush moment in God's timing. He'll show you what it is you're supposed to do. But until then, just serve. Don't ever think, who am I? Because I'll tell you who you are. You're saved. You're a believer in Christ. You've got the gospel. The demons tremble because Christ lives in you. And you know the truth that can save a lost and dying world. There's what more is needed? You're in a very privileged position. Use it. God will take away all of our other excuses over the next 2 weeks, huh? Let's pray. Lord, who are we? We know we're nobody. We know that. But it's not about us. It's about you. And it's about your kingdom, Lord. And you've saved us. We want to be used now. We want to give back to you the way you've given to us. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for those in here that know what their call is, I pray you would just remind them. Give them that encouragement, that sign again. Burn that into their heart, Lord. Let them remember the burning bush when you spoke clearly to them about what it was you wanted them to do and how you wanted them to do it. Let them remember that, Lord, and just continue on and be faithful to what you've spoken to their heart. And, Lord, let them write it down in a log to remember it so that when the doubt comes, they can remember, no, you said it. And I believe it. So God, let them do that. For those in this room that maybe haven't had the burning bush experience, they don't know what it is they're called to do. Lord, I pray that you would just move in every heart in this room and say, you know what? I'm just going to be about my Father's business. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do, but let's go. And Lord, that we would just step out in faith. But Lord, wherever we are, whether it's just waiting on knowing what we're supposed to do, and we all have something we're called to do, whether it's that or whether it's already knowing, I pray you would encourage us and strengthen us tonight. I pray you continue the process of ridding us of ourselves and making us empty of us, whatever that takes. But Lord, I pray you would do it as quickly as possible in each of us so that we would be ready in heart and in humility and in the realization of who you are and who we are so we can be used for the kingdom of God. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Thank you for your encouragement and your strengthening. God, strengthen the hearts of your saints tonight, and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.